Welcome to the Living Epistle Podcast, the place where you will find biblical principles to help you live out your faith on a daily basis and to have a positive impact on the lives of others. So, get ready for another powerful episode of Living Epistle Podcast. Hello, my name is Tony Miles, and welcome to this week's episode of Living Epistle Podcast. This week, I'm going to do a rebroadcast of a podcast I did about 3 years ago. And the reason that I'm going to do it is I wound up having a very similar conversation with a young lady earlier this week. And so I wanted to rebroadcast this podcast because I still think it's timely. I still think it's things that we deal with as it pertains to our feelings and our emotions. And so I pray that it blesses you. I pray that it encourages you. And I pray that you can use this information when you're having conversations with people who are dealing with their feelings. Be blessed. Hello, my name is Tony Miles, and welcome to this week's episode of Living Epistle Podcast. This week's podcast was birthed out of conversations I had with two young ladies earlier this week. But before I get into that, first let me ask you a question. Have you ever made a decision because it simply felt right at the time? Or have you ever said something or done something because at that moment it felt right, only to later regret it? I know I have. And I'm sure we all have, probably more times than we'd care to admit. You know, God gave us our feelings and our emotions for a reason. Living by faith doesn't mean we ignore them. They are not evil by themselves, but what we allow our thoughts to dwell on may be negative and causing an unhealthy overload of negative emotions. So let's start by defining what are feelings, right? Feelings and emotions are related, but they are different. Emotions are associated with bodily reactions that are activated through neurotransmitters and hormones released by the brain. Whereas our feelings are that conscious experience of those emotional reactions. In other words, feelings are the active response to that emotional stimuli. So those hormones and those neurotransmitters that are released in the brain that cause the emotions get expressed by our feelings, right? And so our feelings can be at times scary, they can be confusing, and they can even be dangerous to our health. Strong, evil emotions may lead to unhealthy, abusive, and other ungodly behaviors. While at the same time, good feelings may lead to feelings of love and happiness and joy. But here's the key takeaway from all of this. Whether positive or negative, in either case, especially in the negative, don't believe everything that we feel. Feelings are not facts. Let me repeat that. Feelings are not facts. Just because we may feel useless or hopeless or unlovable or worthless doesn't mean that we are. They might seem obvious to some, but our feelings can be convincing, and the evidence, it seems or it appears, to abound to confirm this totally subjective experience. What am I saying? What I'm saying is it may absolutely be real and feel real to us, but it's not, but it presents itself as real, right? One of the feelings we talk about is fear. And you've heard this acronym before, false evidence appearing real, but it feels real, even though it's not. So now, remember I mentioned these two young ladies that I spoke to earlier this week? Well, the first young lady was feeling, quote unquote, helpless and hopeless. And she couldn't see herself making it through the next hour, let alone the next day. And the weight of her circumstance, the weight of what she was facing, was clearly heard in a voice on a prayer call, that we have every Monday through Saturday morning at 6 a.m. And she was invited to come on the call, and she actually did get on. But we could hear the weight of what she was saying. And so we couldn't let her get off of the call without really just trying to minister to her. And so I praise God for this Christian couple, a husband and wife couple, who met with her. And so we were able to encourage her and to get her to commit to go and to meet with them. And so she did agree to go and meet with them immediately right after we got off of the call. She went and met with them, and they were able to encourage her and to pray with her and to give her wise counsel. And so the Christian couple that met with her confirmed that she was, in fact, getting professional counseling and that she had been prescribed medication for her emotional and mental state. The second young woman that I spoke to said to me she couldn't explain why she was feeling the way that she was feeling. But she said she was experiencing, and I quote, crippling depression, end quote. And so she, too, I know, was getting counseling, professional counseling, and was prescribed medication for what she was feeling. But both situations, though, demonstrate the impact of what our feelings can have on her, on us. However, I really want to emphasize here that we must recognize feelings for what they are. They are feelings. Again, I have to repeat this. They are feelings. They're not facts. They are not truth. They are not edicts. Edicts being laws or pronouncements or decrees. And so what I said to the second young lady was what we should say to anyone experiencing these negative feelings, these intense negative feelings. And that is simply this, that we empathize with how you're feeling. I will never tell you not to feel what you feel, because you do feel it. They are your feelings and they are real to you. But what I will tell you is that even when you are having these feelings, remember what God says about you and say that to yourself. Say those things that God has said, right? So a couple of things that just immediately come to mind is Psalms 139 and 14. The psalmist says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Soul, that immaterial part of a person, that person or who the essence of who that person is, that part of us that is eternal, right? Our soul knows this about God. But what happens is the enemy tries to tell us lies and tell us that we're less than. And so the more I learn about the functioning of the human body, the more I am in awe of our amazing God. Who else but this amazing creator could put together such a complex organism and have it function the way that it does? And as I'm growing and I'm learning about how interdependent each component of our being, our minds, our souls, our bodies, our spirits, how interdependent each of them is on one another, right? And so when any one of these components is not working properly, it can cause the whole body to malfunction. And so let me just say this. If you are suffering, or if you know anybody who's suffering from mental, emotional, or psychological illnesses, I would absolutely encourage that you would say to them and encourage them to seek professional help or to seek professional counseling, right? Because there's nothing wrong with that. God has given us these resources and this wisdom to be able to use these tools to be able to help us cope. And again, this is something that we don't talk about in the African-American community. We ignore it. We dismiss the warning signs and symptoms, hoping it will go away. But as we've already learned in earlier and talked about in the podcast, especially in the experience of these two young ladies I'm referring to, that our feelings always find a way to express themselves. The only question is, will this expression be positive or negative? But feelings always find a way to express themselves. Because we are human beings made with feelings. God created us with these feelings and these emotions to be expressed. And so again, the question is only, how will these feelings be expressed? So again, we have to say to ourselves what God says about us. Even when we don't, quote unquote, feel it, we have to remember Jeremiah 29 and 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope, right? We have to say this to ourselves. We have to recite this to ourselves, even when we don't feel like it. Or here's another great one, a couple of verses in Romans chapter 8, Romans 8:31, which reads, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, Who can be against us? So whenever we're in these states of negative feelings and negative emotions and intense negative thoughts, we have to remind ourselves of what the Word of God says to us, or Romans 8:35, where it says, "And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" Romans 8:37-39. "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What is this saying to us? What is this saying? What it's saying is that we can depend on God's word. God's word is truth. It is fact. It is an edict. In other words, it is a law. It is a pronouncement. It is a decree that we can depend on. Even when we don't feel it, it is still true. The fact that we don't feel it, or the fact that we don't think it of ourselves, it doesn't matter, because the word of God is true, and we must recite that. We must say that to ourselves, so that when those negative feelings, those negative emotions rear their head, we can look and see what the word of God says to us. And so then, as I was thinking about these young ladies, the question came to my mind, who are you surrounding yourself with? Right? That's the question. Sharing our feelings, sharing our emotions with others is helpful in managing those feelings and those emotions. This Christian life is not meant to be lived alone. Again, I can't help but think about in the beginning, where Adam was in the garden by himself, and God said, "It is not good that man should be alone." And so he had to make someone a helper suitable for him. So this life is not meant to be left alone. We're not to be lone rangers. We're not to face our challenges and our fears by ourselves, right? God has given us this gift of other believers who can share our burdens, and whose burdens we are to share. Galatians 6:1-2, it says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of" what? "Gentleness, and considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted." Verse 2, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Again, this is going back to the question, who are you surrounding yourself with, right? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, "Where there is no counsel, the people will fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." When we're going through things and we can't think clearly, or we can't pray for ourselves, or we don't possess the energy or the strength, there and then is when we have to rely on that multitude of counsel to remind us of what God says about us. And I couldn't help but think about the story of the paralytic man in Capernaum, where they were trying to get him to Jesus, but because there were so many people, they couldn't get to him in the conventional channels. So these men climbed up on the roof, they cut the hole in the roof, and they lowered the paralytic man into Jesus's presence. Boy, is that not our responsibility as believers, to take those who are paralyzed by depression, to take those who are paralyzed by suicidal thoughts and paralyzed by low self-esteem and paralyzed by drug addiction and paralyzed by, you put the whatever it is that's in there, where you know that people are bound and paralyzed. And our job as believers is to lower them, is to put them in the presence of Jesus, where they can receive their miracle, where they can receive their healing, where they can receive their restoration, where they can be made whole. That is our job as believers. And so we must remember that no matter what we're facing in life, as long as we keep our focus, as long as we keep our confidence, as long as we keep our trust, as long as we keep our faith in Jesus the Christ, victory is assured. And as a matter of fact, God's love for us assures us that we will have overwhelming victory. I cannot help but think about, again, Romans 8:31 and 35 and 37-39. What shall we say to these things? Whatever these things are, whatever the challenges, whatever the feelings, those intense negative feelings, those intense negative thoughts, those intense negative emotions, whatever we're feeling, we must remind ourselves and counteract those feelings, because they are not facts. They are falsehoods. They are false evidence appearing real. But here's the truth. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? But the psalmist goes on, or the apostle Paul goes on to say, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And guess what? Because we are created beings, these emotions, these feelings, these thoughts that we have, man, those are created things, because we were created by our Creator. But none of them can separate us. God's love for us is so great. The things that he has pronounced, the edicts that he has spoken over our lives, the word of God that he has spoken over our lives assures us of victory. And so we shall get through. And so I want to encourage us as a family of believers and those who listen to my podcast, that we are to be light and salt and instruments in the hands of the Lord, so that we can help to set people free who are bound, and they're bound and they're paralyzed and they cannot see. They cannot see what they cannot see. But it is our job. It is our responsibility. It is our charge to place them in the presence of Jesus, so that they can begin to see themselves through his eyes, so that they can begin to see themselves through his lens, that they can know that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, that they can know that there is nothing too hard for our God. That is our responsibility, family. Just as the men lowered the paralytic man into the presence of Jesus, and there he received his healing, that is our job. That is our responsibility. And so again, not to make decisions based on our feelings, but let's make decisions based on the truth and the word of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. And I'll close with this, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I pray that we are being truth tellers and truth sayers, and telling the truth of the gospel to those who are bound, to those who cannot see, because the enemy has blinded their eyes. But this work that God has called us to, it is a great work, and the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. But I pray that we are looking for opportunities to be used and to be instruments in his hands, to help people to be able to see and to come out of the darkness and walk into the marvelous light that God has called them into and has set before them, because he is such an amazing God. So remember, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. This is Tony Miles. Thanks for listening. Join us again next week for another episode of Living Epistle Podcast. Music for Living Epistle Podcast is provided by Audionautix.com.